الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد. So inshallah, tonight we'll continue the story of Sulaiman alayhi salam. As you remember, last time, if you were here, we talked about Sulaiman and a little bit of the story of the ant. So inshallah, today we'll review and then we'll continue. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Surah An-Naml, and I encourage everybody to go back and review and take your time. You know, you could listen to it. Inshallah, we're going to make the lecture available through YouTube and through podcast. And we'll give you all that information. In fact, maybe in the break, we'll talk about how we're going to communicate with you. But inshallah, we have the YouTube and the, so you get the video, and you also get the audio and podcast. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Surah An-Naml, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ عِلْمًا. We have given Dawood and Sulaiman, we know David and Solomon, we have given them knowledge. And they said, as a result, reacting to this bounty, they said, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The one who has favored us over many of his obedient servants, many of the believers. And we talked about the fact that believers are many ranks, many levels. And we talked about the pyramid and the fact that the prophets and the messengers are on the top. Then who is next? Who? Siddiqun. And we said those are likely the people of knowledge, the scholars, and then the martyrs, and finally all the other pious people, all the pious, righteous people. So here Solomon or Sulaiman is acknowledging that, and his father are acknowledging the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored them, not over all the people, but also among the believers, he made them from the best. وَوَرِثَ سُلَيْمَانُ دَاوُودَ. And then Solomon, Sulaiman, inherited Dawood. And how did Sulaiman inherit Dawood alayhi salam? Well, it was in two things, in prophethood and knowledge. It was not in money for two reasons. Number one, because Dawood had many children. So it would not have been fair just for Sulaiman to inherit all the money of Dawood. All the children, not just Sulaiman, would have inherited the money of Dawood. But the second reason is because prophets do not leave behind money. And whatever, if they were wealthy and they had money, it would be given to charity. It would be given to charity. So the children of prophets do not inherit from their fathers. They do not inherit wealth. They do not inherit money. And the Prophet told us in the hadith, إِنَّ مَعَاشِرَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ لا نورث ما تركناه صدقة. So this is an authentic hadith from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. وقال. So now Sulaiman took over. He took over the kingdom because he was also a king. And as we said, some people think that Sulaiman was only a king. We Muslims believe that Sulaiman was a king, a prophet, and a rich man. He had lots of, you know, belongings. So he said, وَقَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. O people. So now he's giving a speech to all the people around him, all the armies around him. عُلِّمْنَا مَنْطِقَ الطَّيْرِ. We were given the knowledge, we were taught. عُلِّمْنَا, speaking of himself. That I was taught, we were taught the language of birds. عُلِّمْنَا مَنْطِقَ الطَّيْرِ. And we talked about the language of the birds. That language is any form of communication. So all the sounds that the birds make, for example, like the squawk and the chirping of the birds, and we said these are calling notes for different like messages, especially messages of danger. If there's a danger around them, they have a way to communicate with each other. And this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it depends on the tone, the duration, the loudness of that chirp, they can communicate different messages. even to a point, and this is what science tells us, that they can tell, they can communicate whether the predator is above them, is below them, so they can communicate all of that to each other. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Sulaiman alayhi salam to understand this language, and this was not given to any other human being besides Sulaiman alayhi salam. So he said, he told his people, I am given this knowledge. I can understand the language of birds. وَأُوتِينَا مِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ And we were given from everything, from every knowledge, from every power and strength Allah gave Sulaiman alayhi salam. Now some people might say, well, is that okay to speak like that? Well, it is definitely okay to talk about the favors and the bounties and the blessings that Allah has given you if you do it to show the bounty of Allah. Not to brag, because I know some people, they do it and they say it in the form of boasting. Like you say, hey, I am smart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me smart. Allah gave me a lot of brains, brain power. And I'm smarter than you. Now you're showing off. You're bragging. You're boasting. And there's a fine line between that and saying that out of acknowledgement. You're acknowledging that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you so much. And you know Surah Al-Duha, I hope all of you memorize Surah Al-Duha. What is the last ayah on Surah Al-Duha? This is why I like you to be here, so I can ask you more questions. Here, there you're hiding. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us here? This is really important because what's happening today, many people are losing their connection with the Qur'an. And they say, yes, sometimes we memorize Qur'an and we try our best, we look at the translation, but we don't see this connection, we don't feel this connection between us and the Qur'an. And to me, this is one of the biggest problems we have today. And this is not just to people who don't speak Arabic. Even in Muslim countries, even in countries that speak Arabic, they are losing this connection. Because people are not spending enough time with the Qur'an. Not only that they don't try and learn it, but also when they learn it, they don't sit down and think about it and ponder upon it. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trying to tell us here? So there's a fine line between acknowledging and saying, this is what Allah has given me. Now this is to acknowledge Allah, not to acknowledge yourself, not to brag about yourself. There's a fine line between the two. What Sulaiman was doing here, he wanted to show the greatness of Allah. Not his own greatness. And this is why he was saying that. He was saying, see how Allah is great and powerful. The fact that he has given me so much, that shows the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shows the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why he said, إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْمُبِينَ This is indeed the great bounty, the great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَحُشِرَ لِسُلَيْمَانَ جُنُودُهُ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ وَالطَّيْرِ فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ And then all his armies were gathered and collected in front of Sulaiman. So I want you to imagine this great scene, like all kinds of animals, birds, jinn, and human beings. All of them gathered in lines in front of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And then they were marching. حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَوْ عَلَى وَادِ النَّمْلِ And all of a sudden they came upon this valley of ants. And you see the Qur'an, every word has a meaning. And it is for a purpose. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it's a valley of ants. And we know now from science that ants live in big numbers. They have huge colonies. Colonies are made of hundreds of nests. And every nest has like could have like up to 500,000 ants. An unbelievable number of ants. And this is actually what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said here, a valley of ants. Now if you observe, you might only see few ants. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not the knowledge of a human being. Back then there was not much research about ants. There was nothing like entomology where you study the insects in detail. None of that existed. This is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He created all these beings. And then He said, قَالَتْ نَمْلَةٌ She said, He's talking about the ant and it is in the female form. She said. And that's because we said, Now we study ants, we know that the far majority of ants are workers who are female. Like all the soldiers, we say, the soldiers and the food gatherers, the workers, are female. And they're wingless. This is the vast majority of ants. And then you have the male, you know, the drones. They're the ones with the wings. They're few in numbers and they don't live long. And then you have the queen who lives a long life, like 15, 20 years. And there are not many queens. And they have wings as well. So it is one of the miracles of the Quran that it says she, because that is the vast majority. And most likely it was a soldier or a worker. And this is also the language of the ants, because it says, qalat, it says. And ants communicate in marvelous ways. They make certain sounds like this, you know, they rub their body because it has a lot of ridges. And the different rhythm communicates different messages. And this is how ants communicate, especially when they alert each other. And this is exactly what the ant is doing, because science says that, you know, the most important communication between animals is to warn each other and to alert each other about danger. And this is exactly what this ant was doing here. قَالَتْ نَمْلَةٌ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّمْلُ O ants. It's exactly the alert message. أُدْخُلُوا مَسَاكِنَكُمْ Enter into your dwellings right away. لَا يَحْتِمَنَّكُمْ سُلَيْمَانُ وَجُنُودُهُ هُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ Lest Sulaiman and his army will crush you while they don't realize, they don't feel it. You are so small, the army of Solomon is not going to see you, is not going to feel you, and they're going to crush you. Another thing here, you notice, لَا يَحْتِمَنَّكُمْ This crushing usually happens to a hard body, a hard substance. And it's exactly how the insects are made. We know that for the insects, it's the opposite of us. We have the bones on the inside and the meat, the soft, you know, part on the outside. Now, the insects are the opposite. The soft thing is in the inside. If you've crushed a cockroach or an ant, the inside is the gooey stuff, right? And the outside is the hard shell. And that's what's making that sound that the Quran describes so carefully. Hatama is to crush with a sound. The sound you hear when something hard and brittle, when it breaks, that's the sound it makes. And this is how the Quran describes it. Subhanallah. لا يحتمنكم سليمان وجنوده وهم لا يشعرون. Now here are a couple of issues. Number one, some people have the idea that if you are rich and you have lots of money, that money will corrupt you. That money will make you unclean somehow. That money is kind of filthy and it's not spiritual. And that it's going to take you or rob you from your spirituality. And here, one of the messages in these ayat, because again, Quran is relevant. It's not just for the time of the Prophet ﷺ or the time of the prophets before Muhammad, like the Prophet Sulaiman and Dawood. It's for us. What is the main message here? The main message is, it's okay to be rich. It's okay to make money. Making money is not haram. Making lots of money is not haram either. Why? Because we have a great prophet by the name of Sulaiman who was richer and more powerful than any one of us. So what is the catch? It's not whether you're rich or poor. It is how grateful you are. How grateful you are when you are rich. See, if you are rich and grateful, it's much better than being poor and ungrateful. And there's a long debate among scholars, which is better? A poor person who is patient, or a rich person who is grateful? That's a long debate. I don't think we can settle it. There are good arguments on both sides. But the idea is, if you don't have a lot of money, you have to be patient. If you have lots of money, you have to be grateful. Okay. So now Sulaiman, when he heard the ant, because remember, he can understand the language of animals. He heard the ant and he understood her concern for her tribe. And this is one of the things about the ants. Now, you know, in the Quran, many, many animals are mentioned. right? And each animal has a particular quality. Every animal has a particular quality. And you can learn from each animal. Can you think of some animals that the Quran mentions? We can take a little break while I ask you a question. The dog, right? Because remember maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago we talked about the parable of the dog. So the dog is mentioned. What else? You said the camel. Very good. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ in Surah Al-Ghashiyah. The birds in general, and as we're going to see today, Al-Hudhud, the hoopoe is mentioned. Who else? What else? The cow, of course, in Surah Al-Baqarah, it's named after the cow. What else? Spider, very good. The bee, yes. Surah Al-Nahl. The elephant, yes. Very good. Not the dinosaur. Good try though. Nice try. Is the mic good now? I can still hear some echo. Okay. So what we can learn from the ant is a tremendous lesson. If you study ants, and here also what you can see is teamwork. That one ant, and in some narrations it says that the ant died because she was trying to save her tribe, her friends. So she was willing to sacrifice her life for the sake of her colony, to save her colony. What you see in ants is a lot of teamwork. And this is a big lesson for us. Because unfortunately, among human beings, many people are opposed to teamwork. And they're so selfish. Some people are so selfish. They're not willing to work for the good of the team, the tribe, the community. And this is why it is important, because we live in a community. Human beings are social people, just like ants. There's so much similarity, by the way, between ants and people. Ants are so organized. They live in a huge number. They have communities. They communicate. And they work so hard. So work ethics is another big lesson we learn from the ants. Like, for example, if you're depressed, and you're tired, and you're lazy, and your morale is down, and you feel down, and you feel depressed, think of the ant. They never quit. They keep trying. I mean, just observe an ant. If it's trying to pick up something and it cannot do it, it keeps trying and trying. Then other people come and help other ants, rather, try and come and help her. And they never quit. This is such a huge lesson from the ants. They have a strong will. And they love to work, unlike many people. So this is a great lesson we learn from the ants. Now, Sulaiman alayhi salam made this beautiful dua that I want all of us to remember and to memorize. He said, قَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيْ وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ. He said, O Lord, this is the dua, O Lord, give me the power, أَوْزِعْنِي, give me the strength to thank you. See, because none of us is able to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough. No matter what you do, you're going to be lagging behind. So you need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the strength and the power to allow you to remember Him on a regular basis, to say Alhamdulillah, to give you this power, the strength. Not many people can do it. I'm talking about Muslims. They're showered with bounties and favors on a regular basis, and they forget. And they take it for granted. It's exactly what happens. Many people take it for granted. So when you make this dua, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the power and the strength to say Alhamdulillah on a regular basis, and to be grateful and thankful, and to never forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to never forget the people also who were good to you. See, the Prophet told us in the hadith, مَنْ لَا يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. If you're not able to thank people, you're not going to be able to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you need to be grateful to people as well. I still hear a lot of echo, by the way. I don't know about you. Oh, you need to tell me. You should have told me. Am I supposed to pull it? Sorry, guys. Can you take care of it, please? I'm not good at this. Okay. Okay. All right. Apologize for the technical difficulties. Is this better?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, in essence, the dua says, give me the strength to thank you for the bounty that you've bestowed upon me and upon my parents, because the parents of Sulaiman was Dawood and his wife, who was also very pious, and that you allow me to do a good action, to do good actions, and then that you allow me to become from the company of good, pious people. So now, Sulaiman was doing a check on his army. وَتَفَقَّدَ الطَّيْرِ. So he was checking the birds. فَقَالَ مَا لِيَ لَا أَرَى الْهُدْهُدِ. He said, how come I do not see the hoopoe? So he's one of the birds. And some of you, I don't know, have you all seen a hoopoe? Or have you seen it, at least seen a picture of it or a video of it? Do you know what it is? All of you. Anyone who does not know a hoodhood or a hoopoe in English? It's a really beautiful bird. It's a delicate bird. In fact, it's an endangered species. It's not so common these days. It usually lives in the Middle East, in Europe, and part of Asia. It has such a long and delicate beak, a beautiful crown, colorful crown, and colorful wings. And it flies almost like a butterfly. It's funny how it flies, but it is actually very fast. It can go up to 40 kilometers per hour and can travel long distances. Subhanallah. Like I said, I recommend that you go and maybe watch a video about this bird, because anything that the Quran mentions is important. And one way to understand the Quran, especially nowadays because we have all the technology, if it mentions a particular type of animal, go and study it, look at it, and that will help you understand the Quran better. And this is one of the tools that did not exist in the past, so we should utilize it. So Sulaiman said, how come I do not see the hoopoe? مَا لِي لَا أَرَى الْهُدْهُدْ أَمْ كَانَ مِنَ الْغَائِبِينَ. Or is it absent? Because everybody has to show in front of Sulaiman alayhi salam. You have to show in front of Sulaiman alayhi salam. You have to report to Sulaiman, as we said. لَأُعَذِّبَنَّهُ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا أَوْ لَأَذْبَحَنَّهُ أَوْ لَيَأْتِيَنِّي بِسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. I will punish him hardly or harshly, or I will slay him, I will slaughter him, or he should bring me a good excuse. So I'm not going to take any excuse. I'm going to take only a clear excuse. Sultan Mubin. فَمَكَثَ غَيْرَ بَعِيدٍ. He only had to wait a little, and then the hoopoe showed up. So the hoopoe showed up. And in some interpretations, it says that the hoopoe came close to Sulaiman alayhi salam. So number one, we learn from this hoopoe that he was not afraid of Sulaiman, that he had a strong personality. And there's so much to learn about this bird. فَقَالَ أَحَطُّ بِمَا لَمْ تُحِطْ بِهِ. And then look what he said to Sulaiman. He was not afraid. I mean, Sulaiman was saying, I'm going to punish you. And this hoodhood, this hoopoe, had a message. He said, I know what you do not know. Speaking to Sulaiman directly. Like, imagine a huge, big king, very powerful, lots of armies behind him and everything. And this small little bird, who's very, delicate, very weak, speaking to Sulaiman alayhi salam. Now, this is a big lesson I want all of us to pay attention to. Because it's not about the strength. It's not about the muscles. It's not about how big you are. Strength is in the heart. And this is really important, especially for the youth. Because we give so much weight to big people, to heavy people, to people who look big and strong and muscly, if you will. Look at this Hudhud. This hoopoe came to Sulaiman and he's telling him in his face, I know what you do not know. وَجِئْتُكَ مِنْ سَبَأٍ بِنَبَأٍ يَقِينٍ I came to you from Saba. And now remember, Sulaiman alayhi salam was in Palestine or the Holy Land, that area. And this hoopoe came all the way from Yemen. Because Saba or Sheba in English is a place in Yemen, and it was a place where there was a queen, as we're going to see. So it was a kingdom that existed in Yemen at the time, and it had a powerful queen. So he said, I came to you all the way from Yemen, bringing you this news, this important news. I have found a woman who's ruling them. She is the queen, she's in charge, she's on top of them. And she's given from all different types of power, just like Sulaiman. Not as much as Sulaiman, but similar. وَلَهَا عَرْشٌ عَظِيمٌ And she has a powerful throne, a great throne. However, and look how, you know, it gets better and better, I guess. Thank you. So I think now we got rid of all the noise, I hope. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. All right, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah. Let's start now. Just kidding. Okay. Now look at the wits of this hoopoe. It's not a regular bird. It's not a regular hoopoe either. He's very smart. And he has a mission. He's a hoopoe on a mission. So he said, I found her and her people prostrating to the sun, worshipping the sun instead of worshipping Allah, instead of worshipping God. وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ And the Satan has come and he has deceived them. He played tricked on them and they fell for it. Like happens to many, many people. They fall prey to Satan, to Shaitan. فَصَدَّهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ فَهُمْ لَا يَحْتَدُونَ So therefore, they're off the path. They're not on the path, they're off the path. صَدَّهُمْ He chased them away from the path. And therefore, they're not guided. Now he's saying that to Sulaiman out of passion and mercy and, you know, feeling for these people. One thing to guide them. Now what is so important here? This hoopoe could have been just like any other bird. He could have been just like any other animal. Just following orders, standing in front of Sulaiman alayhi salam every morning saying, you know, giving the salute and following exact orders. And he could have been just fine. He could have done just fine. But this Hudhud, this hoopoe, had a mission. And he really understood the objective of Sulaiman alayhi salam. He really understood the vision and the mission of Sulaiman alayhi salam. So what he did, he went above and beyond his role. Because he knew that the main purpose of Sulaiman alayhi salam is to call people to Islam. That's what Sulaiman was about. Sulaiman was not after his kingdom like he wants to build a big kingdom. He is not an Alexander or something like that. That was not his interest. Like to conquer land. That was not the interest of Sulaiman alayhi salam. The interest of Sulaiman alayhi salam is to bring people to the truth. To show people the truth. So this hoopoe truly understood the objective and the mission of Sulaiman alayhi salam. He went above and beyond. He did his best to actualize and manifest the objective of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And look what he said. How come they do not prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Like he's feeling bad. He's objecting to what they do. The one الَّذِي يُخْرِجُ الْخَبْءَ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ The one who brings sustenance and food from the heavens and earth. How come they do not worship this God? And they're turning to the sun. And they're worshipping the sun. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تُخْفُونَ وَمَا تُعْلِنُونَ And he's the God, he's the Lord who knows the private and the public. He knows everything. He knows the hidden and the apparent and the visible. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa rabbul arsh al-azim. This is still the hupo speaking. This hupo knows aqidah much more than many Muslims. He's saying Allah, the one who's worthy of worship, and none worthy of worship except this God, this Lord. And He is the Lord of the mighty throne. This is the understanding of this hupo. This is the belief and the faith of this hupo. Now the message, the big message we get from these ayat, because again, we have to make these verses relevant to us today. How does it relate to us? Well, many of us in this life, we're going to be playing various roles in life. Inshallah, you grow up if you're not old already. And inshallah, you still grow even if you're old. But you're gonna find that in this life, you're going to play several roles. For example, you're going to be an employee of some company. You could have your own business. You're going to be a father or mother. You're going to be a husband, a wife. You're going to play various roles in life. Now what many people do, they just look at the definition of that role. Like how people around me define this role. And they say, well, you know what, I'm just going to follow that. I'm going to limit myself by that definition. And I'm not going to try anything else. Hey, this is what I'm supposed to do. If I'm going to work and clock, you know, between 8 and 5, that's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to try to learn anything new. I'm not going to go above and beyond what I do. I'll just be satisfied with this and I'm good. And this is how they live their life. This is their mentality. This is their mindset. They don't try to go beyond that boundary. They don't break any boundaries. And this is why they end up being regular people. Average people. Good people, but not great people. Not excellent at what they do. This is such a huge message that we learn from this bird, really, the hupo. He could have been, like I said, he could have been just like any other bird, saying salam to Sulaiman in the morning, standing in line like everybody else, and Sulaiman would have been so happy with him. But don't you think that Sulaiman now is much more happy with this bird? The fact that he really understood the mission of Sulaiman, and he went above and beyond, and he did like a big army. Really, this bird is equivalent to a whole army. He did what a whole army could not do. And he brought this news, and Sulaiman did not even know about it. He did not even know that these people existed. And now what we're going to see, inshallah, maybe next time, that because of this hudhud, because of this hupo, an entire kingdom will turn into Islam. An entire kingdom will become Muslim. Because of the efforts, the extra mile, as we say, the extra mile that this hupo went for. And this is how a Muslim should be in life. We should be ambitious. We should not settle for less like we see. Oh, I'm good enough. Good enough is not good enough, basically. You should always strive to be better. To be better than other people, that's totally fine. Competition is okay. In the Quran, we see it all the time. People competing, that's fine. And don't settle for, you know, okay, somebody is okay with me, he's happy with me. Doesn't matter. Are you happy with yourself? Are you happy where you are? This is what matters. The main reason why people get bored in life, why people get, you know, lazy, even depressed, and, you know, and they don't even like themselves anymore, is because they don't try harder. And they settle for less. And they want to be just like everybody else. They want to fit in. They want to be part of the crowd. They don't want to like excel and be different and be a leader. What is a leader, by the way? Nowadays, actually, we confuse the meaning of a leader. We think a leader is somebody who's in charge of something. Like, I don't know, I don't like to pick on like specific people, but like we say, the leaders of the community. I have a problem with that. The leaders of the community nowadays are considered the people who own businesses or people who, you know, they show up to different events and take photo ops with this mayor. And this is not leadership. Leadership is leading the way when no one else has the guts to go that route, and you lead it, you're first. It doesn't matter if people recognize you or not. That's irrelevant. True leadership is when you have the courage to lead and go in a way that no one else has taken before. You go in a route, in a road that no one else has taken before. This is true leadership. It's not about fame and status, or that you're in charge of this masjid, or you are the head of the board, or the chairman. That's not leadership. True leadership, you don't have to have fans. Maybe your fans will come later. A lot of leadership, a lot of leaders are not appreciated when they're doing the real work. Many of them are appreciated after they die. They're big scholars in Islam. During their life, they were imprisoned. And they were tortured. Only after their death that they became popular and famous. This is true leadership. They're not, I mean, leaders are not seeking fame and power and status. They are breaking the norm, like this hoopoe. So, al-hudhud, or the hoopoe, is not a small deal. Actually, it is a big, big deal. But we have to contemplate the Quran and think about the messages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to communicate to us. And once we live the Quran and we understand these powerful messages, then we'll be able to appreciate the Quran. As I said, many Muslims today do not appreciate the Quran because there's no connection, no link, no communication. And that's a big problem. So I hope that we do justice to this great book, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we spend more time with it. And like I said, I'm just giving you the seed here. I'm just giving you, bits and pieces. It's going to be up to you to go back and read the Quran, read these passages that we talked about, and think about it more and more. And you can derive more lessons, by the way. Alhamdulillah. So inshallah, we'll stop here. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. And we'll take maybe a 5-minute break, as we did last time. Just freshen up a little bit, stand up, move, you know. But do come back in 5 minutes. Inshallah, we'll do our second segment. بارك الله فيكم.